All right, take your Bibles tonight and turn to Ezra chapter 7. Book of Ezra in chapter 7. I'm just going to read one verse here tonight for our text. We're going to talk about a prepared heart tonight. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. We'll get right into some things here tonight. Just a little reminder or background about Ezra. Ezra was a priest. Ezra was a scribe. He was a minister of the sanctuary or the house of the Lord. Ezra was an exponent of the law of Moses. Ezra was the one who led a second party from Babylon up to Jerusalem to oversee and finish the rebuilding of the temple. And so Ezra was a servant of the Lord. He was used of God mightily. And in looking at Ezra and his life, his life's work for the Lord, we find some things that should challenge us in our faith and in our service to God. We only have a few weeks until our revival conference, and I want to challenge you tonight with the preaching of God's Word leading up to that, that our hearts, and we'll be speaking more over the next couple of weeks on this subject of revival, on the subject of preparing the heart, and so on. And I want the Word of God to challenge us that our hearts would be warm, our hearts would be receptive already before we ever get there. So often what the case is, you know, you plan a meeting and so on, and you halfway or more through the meeting before God even gets a hold of us in some capacity. And what we need to do is have a ready and a prepared heart already for the Lord to work, a warm heart to the things of God. And I want to look at Ezra here in just this one verse and ask the question, what made Ezra such a faithful, usable servant of the Lord? Well, verse 10 says, Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you encourage us tonight, challenge us as well with your word, that your will be done in our lives. And Lord, I pray that each one would tune in tonight and our hearts and our minds would be focused now. And Father, that we would be of a heart and mind to apply your word and to allow it to take root and effect in our life. Lord, we do pray for our conference coming up. I pray for Brother McIntyre, Lord, that you lead him in sermon preparation, and Lord, you fill him with your Spirit, and Father, that you'd use him to preach your word to us, and Lord, that we would, as a church, collectively, especially individually, but collectively, Lord, that we would be seeking your face, Lord, that we'd be willing and ready for you to speak, and Father, for your will to be done in our life. And just draw us close to you, Lord, and challenge us and charge our hearts. And Lord, put a zeal and a fire and a love for you into us again. And Father, it's sometimes our hearts grow cold, and other times it's not that our heart is cold, but Father, you just want to draw us closer to you. Father, you want to reveal yourself in a greater way. You want to put the good hand of the Lord upon our life, and there are things that you want to do in us, and we need, Father, to have that mind and that heart that is ready for the Lord to speak. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd challenge us tonight with these principles. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, I want you to note that there's, and we asked the question, what made Ezra such a faithful, usable servant of the Lord? First of all, it's because he prepared his heart. There's preparation. In verse 10, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. The Bible says Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. The word prepare here, it really means to stand up. It means to set up. It means to make provision or make ready. And so in other words, Ezra made his heart ready to seek the law of the Lord. Now sometimes people get confused and they think that seeking after the Lord is preparing your heart. But Ezra prepared his heart first, and then he was able to seek after the Lord's leadership. This is key. I did some study on heart preparation in the Bible, and I found some interesting parallels and some requirements that are connected with one preparing his heart to seek the Lord. Go over to 1 Samuel chapter 7 with me. 1 Samuel chapter 7. You can just hold your place there, put your ribbon here or something. But look in 1 Samuel chapter 7. In verse 1, and the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Here, something that's connected with heart preparation is the abandonment of idols in the life. Here, Samuel says to the nation of Israel, if you're going to turn to the Lord with all of your heart, then you need to put away the strange gods from among you and prepare your heart to seek the Lord. The context here of this passage is that the Philistines had the Ark of the Covenant, and they found out God's power when they looked inside of the ark and they took it. They were taking it from city to city to city that was in control of the Philistines. And every time the Lord brought plagues against them, the Lord killed thousands of people. And they were oppressed or smitten with terrible, what the Bible calls emrods. And you can look it up for yourself what that was. I can't even imagine. But in other words, they found out the power of God and they said, we don't want this ark anymore. We don't want this in our presence. Israel, you need to come and get it. And so some men of Israel came and got it. And the Bible says that the men of Kirjath-Jearim came. They fetched up the ark of the Lord and they brought it into the house of Abinadab. They sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. But then in verse 2, notice verse 2 here. The Bible says, it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Here the ark is brought back into the nation of Israel, but it sat there for 20 years. The time was long, and Israel had not known the presence of God for a very long time. And the Bible says that they lamented or groaned in pursuit of the Lord. And so notice what Samuel's answer is in verse 3. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your heart, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your heart. In other words, the Ark of the Lord was in Israel's possession, but they didn't experience the presence of God at all. And Samuel said, if you're going to turn to the Lord, then you need to get rid of the idols. You need to get rid of the idolatry, and you need to prepare your heart. They had the Ark of the Lord, but they still didn't have God's presence because of the idolatry in their life. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 19, and we see Jehoshaphat here. And note what is said of Jehoshaphat as well in 2 Chronicles chapter 19, in verse 3. We can go back to verse 1. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. The same thing with Jehoshaphat. The idolatry had to be removed, and Jehoshaphat prepared his heart to seek after the Lord. And I'm simply saying, listen, idolatry kept a distance between the people of God and God Himself. And the same is true for us. Idolatry in our life is something that needs to be removed in order to prepare the heart to seek after the Lord. And somebody might say, well, I don't have any idols in my life. Well, the question needs to be asked, what are we giving more allegiance to than we ought? What are we giving more allegiance to than the Lord in our life? You know, half the battle is recognizing and then honestly admitting that certain things have a higher place in my life than the Lord. Here's what we don't do. Admit that there are things that I give more attention to than the Lord, or things that I love more than the Lord. Why? Because our flesh wants to hold on to it. Our flesh is not willing to let it go because it pleases me. And so we'll justify it and we'll make excuse after excuse. Look, I do the same thing. I've done it many times in my life and I don't like it. But when we come to the realization that there is this thing in my life that my flesh desires and I don't want to let it go, it's an idol in my life, and I have to admit it and honestly bring it before the Lord. But that's half the battle right there. Ezra was a great servant of God and greatly used of God. And you know what? If you truly love the Lord, deep down you want the same thing. You want to be used of God, don't you? If you truly love the Lord, you're going to want the same thing. You're going to want to be used of the Lord. But that means that we regularly need to do some heart preparation, which means a personal checkup of what we give first place to in our lives. And the truth of the matter is we need to abandon those idols and we need to give God the first place in our life. That is part of heart preparation. Lord, I want to know your will. Lord, I want to do your will. Lord, I want your hand upon my life. And if I really want that, then there can't be anything else that's before God in my life. Abandonment of idols. Another interesting connection or parallel to heart preparation is a cleansing of the temple. If you go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 29, King Hezekiah was a good king, but his father Ahaz was not. Hezekiah did some notable things in repairing the house of the Lord, in bringing revival into the nation of Israel. We don't have the time to walk through all of this tonight, but we'll just highlight a couple of things in verse 10. This is Hezekiah speaking here, and it says, "Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that His fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before Him, to serve Him, and that you should minister unto Him and burn incense." All right, so Hezekiah says it's in his heart to make a covenant with the Lord, to commune with the Lord. Skip down to verse 15. Verse 15 says, "And they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. And the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and brought out all the uncleanness that they'd found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook Kidron." Here they are cleansing the temple. Like I said, Hezekiah was a good king. But his father Ahaz was not. His father had shut up the house of the Lord. They ceased to burn incense there. They polluted the holy place of God, and Hezekiah desired to follow after the Lord and to commune with Him, but one of the necessary things to do was to cleanse the temple of God first. And I would simply say tonight, is not our body the temple of the Holy Ghost? Our lives are to be His habitation. And part of preparing the heart to seek the Lord is to be searching for that which is polluting the habitation of the Lord. I'm not talking about what we eat. I'm talking about what we allow into our life. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible says, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, wood, hay, and stubble, and so on, but note what verse 21 says of 2 Timothy 2, verse 21, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Purging ourselves from these to be a vessel that is sanctified, that's able to be used of the Lord and prepared unto every good work. What I'm saying is that there needs to be some heart preparation if we want to see and experience the hand of the Lord. We'll read in a little bit how Ezra did all that he did according to the good hand of his God which was upon him. And then you get to verse 10 and it says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart." Why did he do all that was according to the good hand of God upon him? Because Ezra prepared his heart to seek after the Lord. The Lord wants us to seek after Him. Why? So that His good hand can be upon us. But He's not going to reveal Himself. He's not going to give His power. He's not going to have His good hand on the one who's full of idols or the one who's full of iniquity. There needs to be heart preparation, but there's no heart preparation without repentance. There's no heart preparation without repentance. You know what the Bible says of Rehoboam? Remember who Rehoboam was? Solomon's son. And Rehoboam was king after Solomon. He was the one who split the kingdom. Rehoboam had an opportunity to do right. He had an opportunity to take counsel from wise and godly men, but he chose the counsel of his friends instead. And Rehoboam started out right. The Bible says of Rehoboam that for 3 years he walked in the ways of David, his father. He did right in the sight of the Lord. But later on in 2 Chronicles 12 and verse 1, the Bible says it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. By the time you get down to verse 14, the Bible says, "And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord." There was no repentance in Rehoboam's life, and he did evil because he didn't prepare his heart to seek the Lord. But Job 11 and verse 13 says, "If thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thine hand towards him, if iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles." There can be no heart preparation without repentance. But verse 15 says, "For then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast and shall not fear." Psalm 10:17 says, "Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear." But Psalm 66 and verse 18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Preparing the heart is something that's necessary in order to seek the Lord, to find the goodwill of God and the hand of God. The idols need to be removed. The temple needs to be cleansed. There needs to be repentance. And Ezra prepared his heart to seek the Lord, as we ought to do. But then there's something else that we see in Ezra's life. I want you to go back to verse 10. some interesting thoughts in connection with heart preparation. But then we find Ezra prepared his heart to seek the Lord, the law of the Lord, and to do it. So not only did we see preparation, but now we see some qualification. Verse 10 says, he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. Once he was prepared, once his heart was prepared, he was able to know the will of God and he was qualified to be able to do what God had given him to do. But I want you to note that it was always according to the good hand of God upon him. So there was heart preparation. He was qualified to do what God had given him to do, but it was always in accordance to the good hand of God upon him. Look at verse 6. The Bible says, this Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his request according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. Look at verse 8. And he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was the seventh in the seventh year of the king. For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. Why? Because Ezra prepared his heart to seek the Lord. Get down to verse 27 of the chapter. Ezra chapter 7, verse 27. Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which hath put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem, and hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors and before all the king's mighty princes. And I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. And I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me. Because of this invisible and yet powerful hand of God upon his life, the Bible says that the king granted to him all his request. The mighty hand of God was guiding and upholding Ezra with his power. But that came after he had prepared his heart to seek after those things that would be glorifying to God. The Lord had first place in Ezra's life. And so what he would request of the king would be for accomplishing God's purposes. And the application is this. The true servant of God realizes his own inability and need for the power of God through the Holy Spirit of God in his life. And if I realize that, and my purpose is to serve the Lord, then what am I going to do? I'm going to seek to prepare my heart for the Lord and to commune with Him and fellowship with Him and walk in the Spirit with Him. Why? So that I can have access to His power so that I can do what He wants me to do. Ezra was a great servant of the Lord. But it was because he prepared his heart to seek the Lord. Then he was qualified to have the good hand of God upon him, empowering him and enabling him to do what God wanted him to do. Then we see, thirdly and lastly, not only did he prepare his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, but then, thirdly, to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Here's a commission. There's preparation, there's qualification, then there's commission. He wanted to know the will of God. He wanted to do the will of God in his life. And then thirdly, he wanted to teach the will of God to others. Go down to verse 25. This is the king talking to Ezra. And he says, and thou, Ezra, after the wisdom of thy God, which is in thine hand, set magistrates and judges which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, all such as know the laws of thy God, and teach ye them that know them not. So here's a commission from even the king to judge the people that know the law of the Lord, but then to teach the law of the Lord to those who don't know it. Ezra was commissioned to put to use his calling of God. The Bible said that he was a ready scribe. He was able to expound the truth of God. He was called of God to do that. And listen, what I'm saying is the result of a prepared heart with the good hand of God upon it will always end up being a committed heart to teach or preach the truth of God. That is the result of a heart that is prepared to know the will of God, the good hand of God upon it. It's going to be a committed heart to teach and preach the things of God. If God is to have a chance to gain victories among those who don't know Him or His will, the Word of God has got to be plainly taught by those who've experienced God's power in their own life. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. But who's going to teach it? Who's going to give it? The desire of those that truly love the Lord, who have the hand of God in their life, the desire of those is to proclaim His Word and to proclaim His wonderful salvation. Listen, we do have a commission. Are we doing what we ought to do to fulfill it? I think one of the marks of a heart that is cold or a heart that is growing cold is less and less of a concern and a desire to be a witness and to tell other people. It's one of the first things that goes in a person's life when they're not walking with the Lord or they're backslidden or there's worldliness in their life. One of the very first things that goes is my desire or my commitment to being a witness for Christ. We need some reviving. Sometimes in these areas, we need, though, to prepare our hearts to seek after the Lord. We need to set it up. We need to make it ready. That's what prepare means. To be alert, to set it up, to make ready, to make provision. Then we can have the good hand of God upon us to do His will, which is, what is God's will for us? Number one, to love Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. And then to live a life that is pleasing to Him. But then secondly, the will of God is to teach or preach to all nations and make disciples. These are things that God wants in our life. I want the Lord to speak to my heart. I want the Lord to have His good hand upon me. But sometimes that means getting rid of some things, removing some idols, cleaning the temple, some repentance, some preparation of my heart so that God can speak, so that God can reveal Himself and His will in my life. And then when God does speak and I'm ready and able to receive it and hear it, then there's something He wants me to do with it. Amen? How's your heart? We need to do some heart preparation to be able to seek after the Lord. I want to challenge you and encourage you with that as we lead up to our revival conference. Don't be one who is careless, one who is unconcerned, one who is prayerless. And here's another meeting that we have to go to. Prepare your heart for what God wants to give you. Let the heart be warm and tender and sensitive to the Spirit of God, to the Word of God. Ask the Lord, Lord, I want to know Your will. I want to seek after You. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, pray that You'd help us to be soft and tender to the Spirit of God as You speak, not to be cold, to be hard-hearted, to refuse the voice of the Lord. But when You speak, to be tender to the sound of it, and then a willingness to repent and a willingness to turn and a willingness to draw back close to the Lord again. Lord, I'm thankful that You are always kind and patient and long-suffering with Your children. Lord, that You don't let us stray without pulling us up short and bringing some correction into our life, which isn't pleasant. It's not joyous in the moment. It's even grievous at times. But it afterwards yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness in our life. And you've promised that if we confess our sin, you are faithful and you are just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means with a humble and a repentant heart, Lord, you are always faithful. That means there's never a time when you're not going to hear and not going to forgive. And you're just. You're able to forgive. You're able to cleanse because of the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanseth us from all sin. You're faithful and you are just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord, that you are this kind of God. And Lord, I do pray, Lord, that you'd begin to work in our hearts and prepare us, and may we prepare our own hearts to seek after the Lord. So that, Lord, you could use your word to manifest yourself and to bring about some change in our life that is so necessary, so that the good hand of the Lord can be upon us, so that we can be empowered and enabled to do what you want us to do, that you would receive glory in it. Thank you for your people. Lord, I'm thankful for their faithfulness and attentiveness to the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be quick to apply it now. In Jesus' name.